This is the Living in Clarity podcast. I'm Coach Rather, and today we have back a special guest, Rabbi Yom Tov Glazer. Rabbi, it's great to see you again.
Shalom Aleichem.
Aleichem Shalom. Wow, it's always so exciting to have you on TV, and people love you. You know that?
That people love me?
Yes. I think you're aware of that, but every time I mention your name, oh, Yom Tov. I mean, everyone in the world loves you. You're probably one of the most popular rabbis in the world.
Yeah. Probably.
You think so?
Yeah. I know why. But I also know why.
I would say in the observant Jewish world. I don't know if you're in the
second world too.
Really? Okay. Why is that?
Two things.
Yeah.
One is that I tell the truth. Or at least don't lie. And yes, Jordan Peterson says. But I do tell the truth. And the other is, and people really appreciate that.
Mm.
And the other thing is, I show myself. It's part of telling the truth, but I show myself fully.
You're vulnerable.
Yeah, fully. Yeah. And the other reason is because I love people. I'm crazy about people.
I'm the same way.
I'm crazy about you. I don't think I'd be here if I wasn't crazy about
you. I know. I gotta tell you.
I don't remember where we met, but I remember liking you.
I met you when I came to the essential classes in Jerusalem.
You were my student?
Oh, yeah, it's too many people. It was the Aish conference where I really got to know you. And I came. I remember I was in a. It was the funniest thing. I came to a class. I don't know if it was Aish conference. I don't know where it was. I think it was in church somewhere. And you had three rows of chairs. And everyone sat in the second and third row. No one sat in the first row. And so right before you started your class, you took all the chairs in the front row and you put them in the back. Right?
That's a trick.
That's a very big trick because people don't like to sit in front.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, like the
particularly, you ever speak to women's groups?
Sure, of course. Yes.
So whenever I come in, I'm rarely early, but if I'm early, I tell the organizers, please put another row of seats in front. In the front row.
Right.
And they're like, where are you going to stand? You know, yeah, it's too close. And I said, just put. So they put all the women start filing into the second row.
Yeah.
And then I tell the organizer, I tell them before, as soon as I'm about to start, remove all the
first row. That's a good trick.
Yeah.
The problem is when people are unsure, when they know your stuff and they love you, they're happy to sit in front. But they're unsure that they're going to get like, hear the truth about themselves. And people don't want to hear the truth sometimes.
Mm.
And that's why they love you so much, because after they've heard you a few times, like, you know what? He's MS. He's the truth. And it's their soul. It's their soul. Mm. No.
Yeah. You know, I wonder sometimes about communities that can't get beyond my look.
What look? What's with
well,
what look?
this look is because I align myself with a community that I felt were going to win the race. And for me, when I became observant and left the, you know, the channel changing world.
Yeah, I know.
Every 20 years, it's you know, the tie goes fat, the tie goes thin, the tie goes fat, the tie goes thin. It's like a great. Story I heard was that there was actually apparently a true story that there were two a tour group went to the Kotel, and in that tour group one was a historian, and when they get to the Kotel, so this group that looked just like me, like this, and there was a guy in the tour group who's like videoing and laughing while he's videoing and laughing, and the historian comes out and says, "What's so funny?" And he says, "Just look at these penguins."
Yeah.
And the guy says, you're laughing at them, they're laughing at you.
Man.
Because you're like a television program. You ever shot through all the channels?
Yeah, sure. I've seen that.
You know,
I didn't know I was doing it until I started learning to talk. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? But 2 hours later, I haven't watched a TV show. And if I watched a show, it was like stupid. Like, the reason why people like watch TV and like the shows, because they don't have to think.
Yeah.
They're not living a conscious life.
Don't have to live their own life. Which is status, and that's the news feeds, like watch someone else's life. I always tell men, you know, I believe the same thing about women, but I always tell men, you're not allowed to flip through shorts and news feeds and about people's lives. And they're like, why not? I said, because men post. Have you ever seen a male dog walk by a lamppost?
they want to go to the bathroom.
Well, I don't think they necessarily want to go to the bathroom. They might even just leave a drop or two, but they're triggered. They're dropping
territory.
Yes. Move it. They're posting.
Yeah. Oh, actually, that's how they post their social media.
Make post.
Yeah.
But it's not good for a male to be watching other males.
That's a lot of sit on your buddy.
Yeah. I don't think it's very good for the women either.
No, it's not good for anybody. It's not good. It also is causes people to have low self-esteem because when you see the successes of other people, how they're doing.
Their bodies. Especially their bodies
and how they, you know, you don't see fat people posting, not heavy people posting all the time. Like, their body shape because they're embarrassed or they're not proud of it.
Mm.
People who are beautiful posting and like, how come I don't have that? And you just feel bad about yourself. And it becomes this constant treadmill of you feeling worse and worse and worse. I mean, on social media.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's get
back. What are you talking about?
Let's get back to why people love you so much.
Why?
You said you started to say because you're vulnerable and you tell the truth.
And I love people.
And you love people. How is it about loving people that who are obnoxious or rude?
Or the way they favorite people.
Right. So how, and that's how,
listen, that's the whole show. Every time you're going to watch.
Every time I walk down like Ben Yehuda Street, I was in America, walk down like, you know, Miami, you see a guy with like 6 earrings in his ear and like the tattoos and the septum nose ring. I'm like, this guy should come to my class. This guy I want to be get in front of and teach, right?
Mm, yeah. I tell you, the more unique someone is, the more they're giving you to love, you know. And some of that stuff is preset. You know, you start to get to people who you could, you know, it's pretty obvious that they don't really love themselves. And they're kind of
getting back at their parents.
Society.
Yeah.
And they're in me, they're wearing their pain.
The world listening.
On the outside.
Sure.
You know, whether it be in the clothing, whether it be in the, you know, even on my way here, I beamed at a very sad looking guy with a big headset on, and, you know, a hoodie. And,
sure.
And beamed my love to him as I walked by. He didn't know what to do with that.
Exactly.
He was not ready for that.
I think the reason why you and I love people and we want to help people, we want to teach people, we want them to be great, we want them to reach potential in life, because we judge everyone to the good. We judge everyone, like, that, because each person has so much potential in life, and they're not reaching their potential in life. I think we have this kind of, like, idea that we want to help them to become better people and reach their potential in all aspects, not just for me, you know. For you, it's about personal growth and their emotional state and their intellectual state. For me, it's more everything, relationships, dating, marriage. Because the happier you are as a person, you'd love yourself, the better your relationships are going to be, because the more you'll be open to love other people.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to ask you. I want you to tell me about your seminars, what you talked about in your seminar.
It's something so important to say.
I know, it's okay.
On that subject, but
it's all right.
I was busy listening to you.
I'm sorry. I do talk a lot.
what were you saying about
it? I was asking you about your seminar. I've never been to your seminar. I want to know what's involved in them.
Never did.
You know that? Well, I've been to you a lot. No, I have not been.
Yeah.
I'm writing all the time.
We have close to 14,000 graduates.
That's a lot of graduates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
14,000?
Yeah.
How big are your class sizes?
Anyway, 20 and 40.
How do you get to 14,000?
Well, they're running all over the world with five branches.
Oh, you're not the only one teaching it.
It's
called the Possible Use.
The Possible Use.
And they can Google that? They can Google that?
Oh, yeah. And I suggest watching an intro and being alone and bringing tissue. Like, what
should I teach that?
The Possible You intro. You could lead Possible You's, I think. I think you could.
I have a lot of content.
Well, this is its own little thing.
I know.
It's an encapsulated reality. It's basically psychedelics.
Well, we do psychedelics?
You don't ingest anything. But right now, the most popular therapies out there are psychedelic oriented.
Okay.
Or no, psychedelic itself. I mean, you do ingest something and Possible You don't have to ingest anything,
which
makes it much easier entry.
Do people adjust things to go to the seminars?
No.
you don't want people to ingest.
Mm-mm. In fact, it's forbidden to have any mind-altering substance during the during those days. It's 4 days,
okay,
non-work hours, and it's like 4 nights,
right?
And it's a trip. I mean, it's a trip. You have no idea who you are by day three. You're completely, you know, blank slated it.
And who wrote the book last? You did?
It's been a journey, you know. It's an evolving thing. I've got it going for 23 years now. And it's wild. You know, it's really wild. And the amazing thing is that losing all sense of identity is the only place to finally shine.
Sure.
Because so much of our identity is not who we are, so much of it. And so little of who we are is what we think is what we see as our identity.
I like using analogies in my teachings. And what you're describing to me is like a raw diamond. That a diamond has all these carbon in it and irregularities, and it needs to be cut in such a way to allow the light to enter like a diamond. Freedom of Island, and that brilliance will then shine back out to the world.
Yeah.
I feel like when we go to your seminar, which I guess I'm going to go to, that by day three, I lost all that carbon and all the areas. Now I'm then just basically a piece of
diamond,
pure diamond.
Yeah.
And now with the shape it. Now we have to shape it, I guess, day four into a...
Yeah, day four is like, well, how exactly do you want to have this shine out to the world? Like, how would you like to create that? And not forever. How would you like to create it for the next 15 minutes in business meeting? Or how would you like to create it when you have to call your kid's principal? Or what do you want the diamond to shine if you're going to do the next 10 minutes of prayer?
Of course.
So it's because once you're nobody... You're anybody. And that's...
I'm Batman.
But that's why it's called the possible you.
You can be anything, right?
Exactly. And what's the inference? What's the opposite of the possible you? It's the predictable you. The predictable you is the identity that you've been pushing forward, even though so much of it you don't even like.
No, it's done by society. It's done by you.
But it's anything to not be nobody, when in fact nobody is the goal.
Because once you're nobody, then you become
any possibly anybody. Yeah, it's pure possibility. And then anybody comes up. And once you're anybody, you know, you
choose what you want to be.
You can definitely choose what you want to be, but it's not just that. There's four levels of being that are available.
Okay.
The first level is the soul. And that's like, I mean, that's so much because, I mean, what is vivifying your body right now if not the soul? But that once you realize you're a soul, think about all the adjectives that come from it. First of all, God clearly wanted you here, because once you have a soul, that means you're
God-given.
Yeah, it's God.
That means you're not a random creation that happened back.
Right.
But you're created for a purpose.
And how many people are walking around feeling unwanted?
Of course.
But here you're wanted. Okay. God also, if you didn't notice, is orchestrating your entire life as if you're the only person on earth, and you're the only person on earth with free will. Because he's orchestrating the world around you.
Sure.
So, which means no one else seems to have free will, even though they think they're getting orchestrated around them.
Sure.
It's a crazy world we live in, where everyone's the center star of the stage.
Everyone's
the star of the movie.
Sure.
Sadly, so many people are playing extras in other people's movies, when really you're the star.
That's why they have to basically become nobody on the third day.
Right.
That's what they need to, because right now they're becoming someone that's not them. That someone that they were inspired just by whatever they hear on radio, TV.
It was copy paste
from somebody else.
Yeah.
And they decided this is what I want to be, but they haven't decided who they really want to be.
Right.
Because they're not able to be nobody yet. Once they become nobody, then they can say, this is what I really want to be. Not decided by the news, not decided by Hollywood, not decided by politics, decided by what's good for me inside.
But that first step of the soul isn't just who I want to be, it's who I am.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning the later step four of the being is who I want to be.
You know, it's
you're jumping to step four.
The possibly you is
really the step, stage four being. Wait, one second.
It's like when I have a stain on a shirt and my wife just wants to spray on the spot remover. I'm like, just wash the whole darn shirt. It's fine, remember it. You don't have to worry about it. Like,
wash it all with spider.
Right. I would say, like, you know, when I teach students the foundations, I say people are going to say you've gotten brainwashed and you come to Asia Torah or come to Jerusalem. And I say they're completely correct because your brain needs washing. Right? It's true. Like, they haven't chosen what's going on in the brain. At least the diamond comes out of the ground. It's natural with all that carbon and vibrarity. But like when you're listening to watching movies and news and you have no idea what's going on in your brain. It's full schmutz.
I was teaching a group of British people who sometimes lack intellectual confidence. No offense if you're British. So this girl raised her hand in the back of the room and she said,
Rabbi, how do we know you're not brainwashing us?
And I said, first, let's see if you have a brain.
I won't talk about washing it.
Anyway, but what you had described before with the copy paste is the source of loneliness. People are deeply lonely. And the source of loneliness is if I copy paste who I am from what I saw around me, my parents, teachers, friends, peers, anyone, television, internet. If I copy paste that and you like me, it's not what you like. It's not me. And that's the real source of loneliness. So, I mean, because think about it, people are so, the reason they're lonely is if they've never shined their light, which is what I was saying, is I shine my light, and that's why people love me, is that, but it's me they love.
Yeah.
So, what my advice to people is shine your light so strong, like really put yourself so strongly out there, so much so that people run away. And whoever stays are the people who actually love
really
you. And watch your loneliness run away. And you want to know something? They're not even going to run away. They're going to run towards you because everyone's starving.
Sure.
For someone who's truly themselves.
The ones that run away have cognitive dissonance and don't want to know the truth. They're afraid of it, and they're afraid of being someone. And it, which take, because when you.
They're not going to run away.
These four levels take
work. Desperate.
These four levels take work, I'm sure. So you said the first.
So first level is the soul. The second level is the beautiful child in you. Yeah. Everyone has a beautiful child inside. They, like, look at you. Like, everyone, look at the camera over there. We clearly have different children inside of us. Our children are clearly shining.
Oh, yeah.
But I have a child in me that's this little, you know, my English name's Johnny. You know, my Hebrew name's Yom Tov, which means holiday, too. It's I'm Johnny Holiday. So that Johnny, he's dangerous, too. He'll play tricks.
Yeah.
You know, he's a crazy kid, and he wants to go mountain biking. And I take him mountain biking. Mm-hmm. And I took him yesterday. I took him surfing.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. And
Herzliya, where'd you go?
And yesterday I went to Ashdod. Yeah. I like to hear bombs when I surf. So that was maybe not a good joke, but when you're surfing Ashdod, you hear bombs.
Yeah. Anyway, did you actually hear them yesterday?
No, it's very quiet in the northern Gaza.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had no mountains, but I've been out.
But there's been... There's
I was out this storm. Winter with like...
Yesterday, Ashkelon had a number of air raid sirens.
Seriously?
Yeah, I think it was like three yesterday. There's not many, not like it was, but still crazy. They're still able to get rocked off.
It's true.
Off-topic.
Very up-topic. Okay, so back to us. It is where are we at?
We got the first level is the soul.
Oh, now, yes. There's the beautiful child.
The beautiful child.
Yeah, go take a kindergarten teacher. She's dealing with 30 absolute individuals. There's nothing uniform. There's no overlap.
No.
And that's in you.
Yeah.
That's your beautiful child.
I used to date kindergarten teachers.
Yeah.
And they're a different breed.
Date.
They're not really for me. I'm like seventh grade teachers, ninth grade teachers. I got married for now 22 years. I'm very happy about this. And they have a different mindset in life. They're different kind of people, and that it's almost, I just say they almost themselves are a little childish sometimes.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the third level is of the being is one's, what we call in Hebrew, kochos nefesh, but it's what I call your divine factory settings. Okay. Every person has divine factory settings. And the way it works is you're either a one, two, or three. They're all eyes that call them the three eyes.
Okay.
Yeah, your divine factory settings. The I here is intellectual. They love books. They love Google. Right. They love, you know, here's people that they interpersonals. I call them all I's. Interpersonals.
Okay.
And I don't like to call it emotional because they're not necessarily such emotional people, but boy, do they love people.
Yeah.
I'm obviously that too.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's threes are instinctuals and they love stuff. You know, and they love physical sensory. They love food. They love the sauna. They love the yoga. They love money. You know,
yeah.
Nice cars. You know, they love delicious foods. They're sensory people. Anyway, these are divine factory settings of the number three of being, which is you're either a one, two, or three. I'm a 2-3-1, but you're all three. You got to list them. So I'm a 2-3-1.
Okay.
You are a two for sure. So I think you might be a 2-1-3.
Okay.
I think you're a 2-1-3.
I used to be 2-3-1. I'm at a Porsche, but that was one time.
Are you into sports? Are you in?
I used to.
Do you go to sauna?
I used to watch all the wrestling. I used to be an avid. I've talked about this. Avid football fan.
So you're a 2-3-1, probably.
But wait,
do you watch football or do it?
I did both. I not professionally. I used to play touch football all the time. But now I don't watch anything. I don't watch Super Bowl. I don't watch anything.
Touch football.
You can tackle in the middle. Tackle in the middle. And then you get to be like, you know, 20, 30 minutes.
I was a running back for 5 years.
Yeah, no, I don't care about the stuff anymore. Like, I don't care about the...
Okay, then you're not a 2. You're a 2.
I'm not
a 2-1-3. You're a 2.
I have a car. I've had a car for 4.5 years.
Do you look at books and research and stuff like that?
You're
a 2-1-3.
Yeah, I'm a 2-1-3.
I'm a 2-3-1. My perfect world is I'm with a bunch of people in a sauna talking about the meaning of life.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
2-3-1.
That's for me, though. I like
that. Maybe you are 2-3.
Yeah.
Anyway, but that's your divine factor settings. And there's another thing you need to know. It's not just whether you're 1, 2, or 3. It's with your flow on the right or structure on the left. Everyone's flow or structure. And they know that in the retail world. For example, you go to Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yeah.
They're going to have every, you know, you go to the bed sheets, for example.
You have to walk the whole store to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And while you walk through, and I was even in a place where on the left side was structure stuff, mm-hmm. where it was the bed sheets with the pinstripes, like the like the Westin Hotel.
Sure.
You know, and then there were the floral sheets on the right side for all the flow people.
Like at bed and breakfast.
And, you know, and you go to the plates, and like the flow is like also, it'd be like China with a beautiful embossed, you know, mm-hmm. floral thing. Whereas the structure, you got like a triangular dessert plate.
Sure.
Like, I look at that, I have a, you know, I go into anxiety attack. I need flow. I'm a flow meister. Anyway, but that's being of number three. What we were talking about before is being number four. Being number four is what I call the, to be a shapeshifter. Meaning, okay, now I'm sitting in the flight and I see someone needs help getting their stuff in the overhead. Who I am is helpful. Now I'm going to keep going to my kid's principal because my kid's busted. Which means you're busted. No, that principle works for me. And I walk into the principal and I come in with a vibration of the boss. And they immediately like start doing backflips for my kid. And so now I'm going to a business meeting. And who I am is confident. And I mean, I can create anything. Now I'm going to prayer. Who I am is holy. Now I'm going to study Torah. Cool. Who I am is a humble student.
Yeah.
And I just keep creating as I go throughout the day. So now I'm walking down the street, who I am is friendly, and I beam at everyone I walk by. And I just keep going as it goes. And that's step four. You would love that step. But that's the fourth step.
The shapeshifter.
The shapeshifter is who, it's the human in here.
Who am I, right?
Whoever, and the mantra we use is, whoever God calls me into being, I am. Because God's creating, remember, God's orchestrating your life around you.
Sure.
And as he's orchestrating your life around you, he's constantly calling you into situations. In each situation, you can create a state of being that will perfectly mate with that situation. And then there's no more anxiety. There's no more stress because, okay, let's say you got to make a wedding. Well, who do I have to be to do that with peace of mind?
Yeah, be an organizer.
And yeah, an organizer or whatever else comes up.
Mm.
But it's not attacking you anymore.
No.
I'm creating the being as I go into the doing.
Yeah, well, you make steps. Just like you make steps in those four steps. You make steps to, if you're planning a wedding, this is what I have to have. I do one step at a time. And you focus on one at a time until you get it done.
Right.
Put it in order of importance, you know?
Sure.
So we have four steps. First being the soul.
These are the four levels, I call them.
Four levels to what?
A being. Yeah, these are what are underneath it all.
And number two is the inner child.
And number one was the soul. Number two is the, I call it the beautiful. You can call it being.
I like inner child. I'm there.
Yeah.
All children are beautiful. It's going to knock the one. And they're all beautiful.
Yeah, they're all inner. right. inside of us.
Right, but there's inside of us now. It makes you think. And then number three is what you call,
what did you call them, the flow or? It's the divine factory settings, which are in one, two, or three, intellect, interpersonal, or instinctual. The third eye is called instinctual.
Sure.
And the and so you figure out what's your order, and then you figure out whether you're flow or structure.
Mm-hmm.
And there are rare individuals from both flow and structure. They're always in managerial positions.
And this is the...
And then number four was the...
Shapeshifter.
Shapeshifter is whoever God calls me into being I am.
Is this the basis of the seminar?
Not at all.
I mean, it's part of it, though.
It's the end.
Oh, this is the end.
I mean, once you finally get to, I have no idea who I am anymore. I don't even care. Because whatever, all that identity was just causing me stress of having to constantly defend it and having to somehow put it forward in situations that were constantly testing it. I'm done with it. I'm done.
I'm free. The first 3 days are.
What?
I'm dying to know what the first
three days are. Oh, they're not simple, I'll tell you that.
I've heard people crying on the ground. Not from you. From other people have gone, they go, people are crying on the ground.
Okay, but
that's true.
It's pitch black if that's happening, so I don't know if it's happening.
Okay.
It's pitch black. No one knows who's the guy who's crying on the ground.
I see.
But there are people who've lost their, completely lost it, which is fine. We're built for that.
Yeah.
You know, we give you the safe space that you can let it all go up to that level of, like, literally, like, flopping around like a fish out of water. There's music overlaid it the whole time, and there, so you can't exactly know. You don't exactly know what's going on. You don't even know it was the guy next to you. You don't even remember who was next to you, actually.
Mr. Handle this from the content.
It's very intense. But one thing is important is that we do screen for psychological well-being. You have to be healthy and normal.
Sure.
In there. Anyone with anything like bipolar, schizophrenic, any psychotic things, any even genetic, that's not
a... It's a lie. A lot of these trips to come to Israel, these spiritual trips, to have guys like you speaking, you know, me, different ones.
But we've had people freak.
And they're people to freak out. You know, they freak out, and then they
I shouldn't be laughing, but it's been some crazy stories.
And they really, and they have to go home, and they can't keep them because they're ruining the trip for everybody else.
Yeah. Oh, there's another idea, though. I mean, another option besides sending them back to America. Yeah. It's fun.
Oh, so are they get Jerusalem Syndrome? You've heard
Jerusalem Syndrome for Christians.
Are that one? Yes.
Jerusalem.
Oh.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah.
Send them to the northern city. It's fun. You see, in every society, there are eccentric people, but put eccentric people in a spot,
yeah,
they're no longer eccentric.
Yeah. Rabbi, it's been amazing talking to you. We've actually been out of time. I'm sorry.
It was a lot of fun.
This was a lot of fun to talk about the Apostle You seminar and the four levels of being.
Yeah, and people can join them. The seminar is going on all around the
world. I got to tell you, I think that we, after this podcast, we need to talk about putting me up there. I think this is something we'd like to do.
I would love it. I need more men leaders.
And I'm passionate. And, well, you know, I can talk afterwards. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, Rabbi Yoktan Grazer. Wow, what an amazing guy. We're going to get you again, obviously, when we can. We are in town. And this is Coach Ratner. And thanks for listening to the Living and Clarity podcast. We'll see you next time.